Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. The Car Guru has just bought himself a new F-150. I've been talking about it the last couple of days. Still trying to get used to all of the tech that exists on this truck. One of the pieces of tech that I have on this truck is a collision avoidance sensor. And I just bought this farm over behind my house not too long ago, and it's 45 acres. And when the hay gets tall, or the grass gets tall, my truck does not like to drive through it. It wants to stop on its own all the time because it sees these little grass particles and follicles and so forth, and it does not want to advance, nor does it want to back up. So all of a sudden, it hits the brakes. I'm glad to know that that system is working and would keep me from backing into somebody in a parking lot if they were all of a sudden walking behind me, or if I were to take too much notice to my cell phone and actually was getting ready to ram into the back end of somebody, it would stop me from doing that. That's good. I do appreciate that kind of technology, but there's a lot of other stuff on here that, you know, it works great when you need it, and when you don't need it, like when you're driving through a field of tall grass, you don't need it. So thank goodness there's a button where you can turn it off. Speaking of being turned off, I can make a promise and a prediction. Well, let's call it a prediction and a promise. The auto industry will not be held captive by any supplier if they can help it. And there has been nothing in the world that is as disruptive as this microchip shortage has been. It is costing millions of sales of products across the board, regardless of manufacturer, billions and billions of dollars. It's costing people jobs, and there are a few companies that make microchips, most of which are made in China or Taiwan. There are some that are made in the United States. I know Texas Instrument, and I think Intel makes chips as well. But I can promise you this, and here's my prediction. These automotive companies are going to make their own chips. They're going to have dedicated suppliers, or they're going to make their own, one of the two things. They are not going to let this happen again. The other industries like Sony PlayStations and cell phones and stuff like that, you know, the auto industry is not going to compete with them for microprocessors. It's just not going to happen. It's just been too devastating for the industry. We're looking at Toyota and General Motors have announced sweeping reductions yesterday to their fall production schedules for the fact that they can't get parts, which are primarily semiconductors. The chip shortage would likely cost the industry $210 billion in lost revenues this year. You know, when you say billion, that doesn't sound like a lot. It doesn't sound like as much as it used to. I remember when they used to talk about deficits in the federal government. It first started off as millions, and then it went to billions. It stayed in the billions for a long time, and when it got to trillions, you know, we all lost our focus on what that really meant. But $210 billion is a lot of money to not have circulating and basically changing hands. You know, you think about all that money. It's still out there, right? I mean, it's in banks or 401ks or people's checking accounts. Banks wanting to loan money so that people can turn around and buy cars with it. And, you know, we have a drastic shortage of automobiles. I was looking at Automotive News, which is one of the periodicals that I read periodically. And it was comes out every week, and it's talking about, or showing pictures, basically, of dealership lots across this country. It makes me glad that I'm not just a single-point dealer just totally relying on one brand. I mean, I'm very grateful that I have two brands, because when one is off, the other is up, typically, and vice versa. We still have a really good selection of used vehicles. We've been trading for a lot of stuff. We're selling pretty much everything as soon as it comes in. And that is great for the bottom line in that you don't have to pay carrying costs, which we call floor plan. So that's the interest that we pay on the cars that are sitting on our lot. You know, when Ford makes a F-150, they send me a bill but I don't pay it. Ford Motor Credit pays it because I have a deal with Ford Motor Credit that they will loan me the money to carry this car in my inventory. It's just like you know, going out and borrowing money for a car. If you pay cash for it, that's one thing. But if you borrow money from Eastman Credit Union or Ford Motor Credit, for that matter, or Toyota Motor Credit, then they are advancing the money on that for you, and you pay interest and pay monthly payments. Now, floor plan, you don't pay monthly payments. You just pay the interest, and every month we pay the interest and expense that interest out. Well, when you don't have any cars in stock or you're selling everything that you've got that's coming in, then you don't have any floor plan costs. And the manufacturer has this thing called floor plan assistance money, which is designed to pay the first 90 days of floor plan interest for us. So it's like a little bonus, I guess, when we buy a car from the factory. Well, if we don't spend that money, then we get to count that money as revenue, profit. So that's a good thing. Not having many cars to show is not a good thing. You know, our lot looks fuller than most. If you come to Greenville and see Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan, you'll see that we have what I would call a decent selection compared to what other dealers have. We have been very aggressive in buying some stuff and buying out some other dealer inventory that they don't want. And so just do anything that we can to be able to have something to sell. We're getting some Mavericks in. We haven't had any come in yet, but they're coming pretty soon. Bronco Sports have been released again, and they're starting to roll in. F-150s, we've had a big surge of the Power Boost F-150s, like the truck that I'm buying. That's the hybrid version. And, yeah, I'm getting about 22 miles per gallon around town with that truck, so I think that's going to be a hot number. And then when the Lightning comes out, that'll be the all-electric F-150. And that sounds shocking, doesn't it? Lightning. A lot of puns being thrown around here. But I do believe that that will be a good seller. Matter of fact, Ford does too. They believe that they have 180,000 confirmed orders for the Lightning truck. That's a lot. When you think about Ford will normally sell 850,000 to 900,000 trucks, and all of a sudden 150,000 to 200,000 of those are going to be a completely new thing, an electric vehicle. Ford is very committed to electric vehicles, more so than Lenny Lawson is. I'm not a big fan. I mean, I love the way they drive and everything, but it's the range thing, just like you. You know, I have range anxiety. I've got enough anxieties. I don't need another one. Range anxiety. You know, it's just something else to worry you as you're driving to the beach. So hopefully there'll be enough charging infrastructure. If this infrastructure bill ever gets passed in Congress and the Senate, the president signs it, maybe there'll be more billions that will be devoted to building out some electric charging station, you know, the fast time, the level one chargers that will, or level three. I can't remember. I get my levels mixed up. But that will charge your vehicle in like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that. That's still a long time to sit, especially if somebody's waiting and, you know, getting charged in front of you and you have to wait on them and then there's somebody in front of them. You know, it's just, it's not comforting to me. I like pulling into a gas station, filling up with gas, getting my pretzels and orange juice or, you know, some kind of a junk food midway on the trip to Hilton Head or Florida or whatever, and then moving on, you know, maybe a 10-minute stop, not a 40-minute stop. I don't know what I'm going to do for 40 minutes. I guess you could, you know, plan all your stops around lunchtime, and you could eat as long as there's a restaurant next door. There's no promise of that, though. So maybe they'll get all that figured out. So to give you some numbers here, U.S. light vehicle sales volume in September will fall to the lowest September level since the Great Recession. So that's, what, 2008, 2009. And it's due to this chip shortage. Cox Automotive, which is a really big company, and they do a lot of analysis of the industry, predicts that sales volume will drop to 1 million units in September. That's down 26% from last year. And last year was not a good year. So the last time September volume fell below 1 million was in 2009. Now we have not many months to go as far as this year is concerned. So hopefully something will give, but I just don't think it's going to. On a lighter note, what is your favorite car color? You know, somebody asked me that the other day, and I said, well, it depends on the kind of car. You know, if it's a sports car, then I have a particular favorite color. It's typically red or white. If it's a truck, it's white or charcoal gray. You know, if it's a big SUV, a big family vehicle or something like that, it's going to be white. How boring is that? You know, people say, well, why do you like white? It shows dirt. And I said, well, in reality, white is one of the best colors to own because white reflects heat. White doesn't show dents and dings as badly as darker colors do. And you know, we all get dents and dings. White, unless it's one of those pearlescent colors, white is an easier color to match if you do have an accident. So people typically don't pick colors because, well, if I wreck it, it's going to be easier to match. But that is just another side benefit. Resale value with white is better. It is probably that white and silver are probably the two most popular colors. But we're going to check into that a little bit deeper, and we'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, this is Lenny Lawson again, back with this edition of My Car Guru, talking about colors. You know, I don't know how you feel about colors, but I like lighter. I tend to skew more towards lighter colors. Other people say, well, I wouldn't have a car unless it's black. Everybody's different, right? Well, as far as vehicles are concerned, the top-selling colors are as follows. White is 24.5%. Black is 20.5%. So they're pretty close. Gray, 19%. And there are several grays. As you can imagine, there's variations. There's a bunch of different blacks and a bunch of different whites. But this is just a kind of a generic white, I guess. Gray, 19%. Silver, 11.5%. Let me tell you a little bit about silver. Back in the 80s, maybe early 90s, you might have remembered, you see a lot of cars where the paint was peeling off. Fairly late model cars, like 5 and 6 year old cars, where the clear coat was just peeling and paint was just peeling off of cars left and right. We had a terrible problem back in that time frame with our customers' cars. And we were painting them mostly under warranty, even though the actual manufacturer's warranty had expired. Chevrolet or General Motors was paying to have a lot of cars repainted. But it was because of and it was mostly silver, and it was because of the man-made pigments that they were using in the paint. They were not as effective as naturally occurring color pigments, and it was causing, and then another thing was defective primer on cars, which was causing the paint to peel off. So a couple combination of bad things to happen really caused silver to kind of fall out of favor, and rightfully so, until they figured it out. Now that's not an issue. I don't know of any color that has a problem right now. I have several colors that I think are horrendous out there. You know, I have to go by, of course that's an opinion, but I have to go by, does it pass the driveway test? When I wake up in the morning, walk out the door, and I see it, am I glad to see that color, or is it something I'm going to be tired of after a while? And so that's why I tend to stay with the traditional white or gray. Blue is 10%. I've never been a blue color car lover. I like the grabber blue that Ford uses, and Jeep paints their, so they offer that as a color on their Jeeps, and I really like that color. It's kind of a medium blue, but I'm not much of a fan of navies and stuff. That's for clothes. That's not for cars. Red is only 8.5%. Green is 3%. Now, green is making a resurgence right now. Toyota started painting their Tacomas and Tundras, kind of a medium army green, I would call it. And when I first saw that, I said, not for me, but apparently it's selling pretty well. And so now Nissan, we just got a new Frontier in that very similar color. You know, this might be tweaked a little bit, might be a little different, but it's pretty close. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's just one of those colors that you need to see dirty. You know, most of the time our cars are not clean. They are somewhat dirty. And we're riding around with that dirt, and it affects how our cars look. And there are certain colors that just, they look really good clean, but they look awful. Now, burgundy is one of those colors. I tell you, one of the best colors as far as not showing dirt is a color that looks like dirt, like beige or gold or some of these medium in between silver and gold colors. That's very popular with people of advanced age like me. I don't like it, but maybe it's just because I still have too much sports car blood in me. But a lot of people like those colors. You know, another thing you see a lot of older folks drive are light blues. They like those. And am I being discriminatory right now? Yeah. I don't know. I love all the old people. You know that. That's just, they have tastes that are more conservative. Light blue and gold. So there you go. Now, there are some crazy colors coming out over the last few years. Hyundai has come out with, no, Kia. It's the little Kia Soul. That's the one I was thinking about. They have some very bright colors and have been known to paint their Kia Souls and some of the other models very bright colors. Acura came out with this new color. I don't know how popular it is. It's called Thermal Orange Metallic. And boy, it looks like a one of those warning cones that you see on the side of the road. It's actually a $1,000 option on certain of their SUVs and crossovers. Audi has that color that I was talking to you about the Tacoma. They use that color on some of their cars, the Audi A5, S5, Q5. I don't know, it reminds me of, what was that color that they had on appliances back in the 70s? Oh, what was that called? Oh, yeah, I got it. Avocado. That was the color. I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. BMW has a new, very interesting-looking iridescent green available on their M3 and M4. It's called an Isle of Man green. I can't even describe it. Chevrolet has a really cool color palette for their Corvette. You know, those Corvettes are hotter than a firecracker. You can't find one, and if you do, you're going to pay way, way over sticker for it, unless you buy it at Champion Chevrolet. My buddies at Champion Chevrolet will sell you one for a window sticker, which is a great price when their competitors are selling them for $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 over window sticker. Tim Copenhaver's just a good guy, and Andy Dietrich. Dodge, I can't say this word. It's a metallic purple. It's available on the Challenger and the Charger. All I can say is that you better like purple in your driveway, and you better look at it when it's dirty, because it's not going to be pretty. I'm kind of keen on this cyber orange metallic that Ford is spraying on their Bronco Sports and their Rangers. It's one you see in the advertising a lot. I'm not sure that's one of those colors that I would get tired of. I have a 2005 Porsche 911 Carrera S. It's probably one of the best cars I've ever driven. And it's like a road paint yellow. And if you'd have asked me if I wanted that color when I was, you know, going to buy a 911, I would say, no, I want white. That's what you would figure. But I really like that color. I've decided that, you know, I might be a fan of yellow on certain cars. Now, not on a four-door car. Not on any normal sedan. I'm just not a yellow fan. Yellow is for sports cars or for Jeeps, maybe a Bronco. This cyber orange metallic, orange is not a good representation. When I think orange, I think UT orange. But this is more of a yellow type color. So Jaguar has a Velocity Blue, which looks very much like this shade of blue that's available on the F-150 and the Mustang and on the Jeeps, like I was telling you about. You know, color is such a personal thing, and it's like nobody decorates their house alike. Everybody likes different stuff. You know, some people like clutter. Some people like, you know, uniformity and just an absence of clutter. Some people like, my mom is a real colorful kind of a decorator. I mean, she likes flowers and everything. And a lot of the colors that I would think if you were going to look at them in a store and put them together, you would not think they would go together. But when you put them in a room with a carpet and everything, it looks great. My wife looks at that and says, no, that's too much color. You know, we like grays and blues and you know, black and that kind of stuff. Kind of like Fixer Upper. You ever watch that show? With the Gaineses. Seems like every house they do looks exactly alike. same color palette. But it works, and that's why they're gazillionaires. So let's take our last break and be back here in just a second. You know, you can do some research and find out if you're getting ready to buy a car, what's the best color. As far as resale is concerned, you can find out, you know, what's the best color as far as visibility. Obviously, it's going to be something bright. Not necessarily white, but as visibility, yellow, red. You know, if you're buying a vehicle for a young person, you might want to think about visibility. If you trade every couple of years, you might want to think about resale value. But the most important thing, and I think you would agree, is to get something that you like. I mean, you're paying a lot of money. You want to make sure that it's the right color. Don't settle either on color because you will probably be disappointed. I've seen that happen too many times where people say, well, you know, they don't have any white ones. Let's just get a black one. And they're sorry they did. They wish they had gotten white. So just wait. You know, that's what I'm telling people right now, that order what you want. You know, our ordering for vehicles has just absolutely exploded at Gateway. We've got more people than we ever have had ordering their vehicles from the factory, getting exactly like they want. Now, it may take a little bit longer to get it in, but at least, you know, they can stop the shopping process and they can lock in their sale price, and they don't have to worry about it down the road. And that's something that's very appealing to a lot of folks. So if you want to order a Honda or a Toyota or whatever, or a Chrysler product or a Chevrolet or something, go to your dealer and sit down with them. Say, I want you to spec something out for me. Of course, you can do it online as well, but they'll sit down with you once you do it online and go through it and make some recommendations and just place an order and get a color that's going to make you happy when you look at it. That's what it's all about. Well, thanks for listening. If you have any questions, you can always call me on my personal cell phone at 423-552-2020, and we will see you tomorrow.